Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast.
I'm Janet Eastman, and I'm your host for the Trade Securely Podcast, where every week we engage in discussions designed to help Canadian businesses trade successfully and securely at home and abroad. No doubt you're aware of the collapse of Sears. It's hard to believe this once AAA-rated retailer fell and stumbled for 3 years before eventually succumbing to bankruptcy. But in recent years, we have come to understand that no company is too big to fail. So how do suppliers manage in such a situation? You don't want to stop doing business with a large customer, as you hope they can overcome their challenges. But what if they can't? And what would have happened if this collapse had come quickly with no warning? Are your receivables protected? Can you afford not to get paid? David Dienish is the CEO of Euler Hermes Canada and a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. He joins me today to talk about how suppliers of Sears were able to continue to do business with the retailer during those last 3 years. Hi, David.
Well, thank you, Janet. It really is a pleasure to be here with you today and talk about a serious event that has impacted many companies both in Canada and the United States.
Yeah. So, David, how unusual is a bankruptcy like Sears?
Janet, this was not that unusual. There really were warning signs, as you had indicated, that started roughly 3 years ago. So the receivables industry, we were warning our customers that this was coming and that we were telling them to take action to protect themselves. The advice that we were giving to customers included being more restrictive with Sears in terms of the credit limits that they were extending and also shortening some of the payment terms that they had so that they could reduce their overall exposure with Sears. That said, as you mentioned, Sears was a AAA rated company back in the 80s. And they were really a trustworthy company really into the early 2000s. Now, let me give you a little bit of perspective around this. There's only two companies in the United States right now, publicly listed companies that are rated AAA. So we're talking about Microsoft and Johnson & Johnson.
Wow.
So these are undoubted companies, right? Too big to fail. Mm-hmm. Sears was around since 1887. At its peak, it had sales in excess of $50 billion. So you're talking about a company that had 350,000 employees at one point. Retail in the U.S. And in fact globally is under a lot of stress. The disruptors of the world, the Amazons of the world, have had an impact on that sector. So unusual? No, we're seeing this kind of scenario a lot.
Wow. Okay, so how would suppliers of Sears have evaluated their risk when they were considering whether or not to continue to do business with the company in the last 3 years?
That really depends. It depends on if you're an existing supplier to a company like Sears. So you're an existing supplier, you're going to look at their payment habits, trends. Some of the more sophisticated companies will do financial reviews. Many of them, especially in the retail sector, are part of industry groups, retail industry credit groups, that can provide some pretty valuable information. Some companies still do the simple two trades in a bank reference. But I think what's missing in all of this is the involvement of credit insurance or receivables insurance companies. They have global databases. My company alone has a global database of more than 40 million companies that we monitor. Globally, we monitor roughly 92% of all world trade. So we, like all of the credit insurance companies, we have a lot of really good information, both public information that we use and private information that helps us predict some of these insolvencies. So those suppliers who were doing all the things that I mentioned, those are all really good things, but it's only partial information. They're missing out on some good services.
Right. So when you look at the role that receivables insurance could have played for the companies that had it in as Sears wound down, would they have gone to their clients and said, look, I know you're doing business with Sears. things are looking a little rocky there, whether you're aware of it or not. So like maybe 3.5 years ago, would you as a supplier to these people, or rather as an insurance provider to them, go to them and say, start watching Sears because things are not good there?
Yeah, you would have seen that from the insurance companies directly. And I think you would have also seen that from the brokerage community. So there are a fair number of brokers out there who get a good pulse on what's going on in the market, and they represent the insurance companies. They would have been, as the insurance companies would have been, telling their customers, look, we see something here. It doesn't always happen on an immediate basis, but you should be taking steps to reduce your exposure. Let me give you an example here. Companies that often buy receivables insurance have large concentrations of risk to maybe one particular customer. Sears is a good example of that.
Right.
There was a high-end kitchen appliance company, and Sears represented roughly 50% of their total sales. What they decided to do once they started heeding the warnings of the industry sector, our industry sector, they decided, look, this freight train is coming at us. Everybody's warning us to get out of the way. So what they did is they said, we're going to redirect some of our sales. Remember, this was 50% of their sales.
Yeah.
We're going to redirect our sales, yeah, and get out of this exposure to Sears. And they used the insurance companies to help them diversify their risk. Because the insurers had all of this information on a lot of companies out there, they were able to help this particular kitchen manufacturer direct their sales to other companies in other places, so that at the end of the day, their margins went up because they weren't so wholly dependent on Sears.
Wow. And would they have been continuing to do business with Sears as they looked elsewhere for customers, but with different terms that would guarantee that they would get paid?
Absolutely. They would have, as they started making this transition, reduced their exposure to Sears, found these new companies, so that overall their sales were roughly the same, but their profit levels were increasing, and the insurance companies helped them grow securely.
Wow. Okay, so for companies that didn't have receivables insurance, what were their chances that they're actually going to get some payback for any of their outstanding receivables at this point in time? Like, what are they getting, pennies on the dollar? Will they even get anything? Are they a creditor?
So it's a tough one to say as of right now, because this is all still pretty new and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, Sears right now has about $7 billion in assets and $12 billion of debts outstanding. That's a pretty big shortfall.
Yeah.
There's issues. Yeah, there's issues between the largest shareholder and the lenders. So if anybody gets anything, it'd probably be some of the lenders, certainly not the unsecureds. And that's who we deal with, the unsecured suppliers. You know, you're looking at a company that's had zero profit since 2011. They've closed multiple stores. They've sold off Craftsman. That was a major brand of theirs. You know, it doesn't look good. I think it's going to be a long and drawn out process. Are we talking pennies on the dollar? It's a tough one to say now. Typically in these kinds of situations, you get maybe 20 cents on the dollar.
Wow.
But it's a tough one now. Yeah. So, you know, as we've been talking about, the receivables insurance industry, the customers who were still covered, and what happens in the industry is we do help tell our customers, the freight train is coming at you. You need to do something. So we start scaling back on some of our exposures. They start redirecting some of their sales. And then there's often a leftover, because you can't time these things perfectly. Our customers who are insured, and I'm talking about the industry as a whole, will typically get about 90% based on what their last exposures are to Sears in this case. Yeah.
So your option is 90% on your outstanding receivables, or, well, anything below 20 cents on the dollar and less, if you even get any coverage at all, or any payback on those receivables at all.
Absolutely. And the big question is, when will you get paid on that? Whereas if you have a policy in place, it's a lot quicker process. We're not talking something drawn out for years here. We're talking about something that you would get paid in months, depending on when you provide documentation and depending on how you solidify the debt. But you're talking months, not years.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the moral of the story? Receivables insurance costs versus receivables lost. What's the moral here?
Oh boy. Moral of the story is that receivables insurance actually is not a cost. It's an investment. So our customers use the product in a way to justify the return on their investment. And their investment, I'll call the premium. How do they do that? Let's use that high-end kitchen manufacturer or supplier. They took what they had and they said, look, I'm paying these premiums, but I'm going to find new and more profitable customers, whether that's on a Canadian scenario or whether they're exporting. So it's an investment. It's an investment to grow the business. The cost side, let's really think about this. A bad debt is costly. If you're a company, I'm going to give you an example again here, $10 million in sales, 5% margins. One of your top 10 customers, let's say within you have a credit limit of $100,000 out there with them. You take that loss, that's half your year earnings gone, if not more. And to make up for that loss, you got to increase your sales by another $2 million. So that means you got to increase your sales by roughly 20% just to offset the loss, just to get back to where you were. That's costly. As I mentioned, on the other hand, receivables insurance, it generates profits. It generates returns for you. So the moral, Janet, sorry, that was a long story, but the moral really is protect yourself and grow securely.
David, thank you very much for your insights on this, because I know that a lot of people have been looking at the Sears bankruptcy and it's been going on for a really long time. Thanks very much for the overview.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Okay. David Dienish is the CEO of Euler Hermes Canada and a member of the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. Thanks very much for listening to the Trade Securely podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.
The Trade Securely podcast is brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada, whose member companies help Canadian businesses succeed and grow securely.